we interrupt this program with a special report.
I got a message for all you folks out there in Radio Land. So sit tight and bend an ear.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Manga Monday Show. My name is Edgar. I have my co-host here, as always.
Ben! Yep.
It's here. Thanksgiving has passed. Black Friday was pretty uneventful. Yes. At least, because, like, you know, even if you... I mean, not only did I not go, but I heard I wasn't missing out because, like, the sales were, like, not even sales. It's not even, like, Black Friday is not even Black Friday anymore, not even Cyber Monday. I kept seeing, like, emails even today saying, oh, Black Friday extended. I'm like, what is, like, should we even call it Monday or Friday anymore? Like, what's the point of these deals if you're just going to extend them for an entire week's worth?
Yeah.
It just takes the fun out of everything.
No.
Let alone the prices. They're not even, like, they jack them up the week before, and then they and then they lower them back
down. Well, they've been slowly jacking them up for the past 2 months just to drop them. By like
a dollar
percent, yeah.
Like not even they don't even want to like try it. Like
no, definitely. You know. There was a good sale going on at Barnes and Noble for manga though. It was buy one get one half off, but it was only for mangas that I already had. And they were like, oh, I was like, oh, what mangas do you know? And they were like Chainsaw Man. I went, I already have Demon Slayer. Every single one. And he went, My Hero Academia. Every single one of them. And she went, My Vigilantes too. And I went, yep, I have all of them. And she was like, there was one other I forgot that was that she did had. And then she was like, well, do you have this? JoJo's. And I was like, well, that's fascinating that you say that, because I have no idea where to begin with JoJo's, because it looks like there are 5 volume 2s, and I'm like, where do I start here?
You start from part one, but it even then, let's like starting, they're like hardcover and they're a bit pricier,
definitely.
And then it's like getting into like a whole new series that you weren't anticipating to get into.
I mean when I do get into JoJo's, I'm gonna be watching it, because the memes that came from it, you have to watch it.
Yeah, and I hear the anime is really good. Yeah. David Productions, the same people who did Fire Force.
Yeah, and if I really like it, then I buy the manga volumes and I'll maybe peruse it at night. But yeah. Not much going on this Black Friday.
I didn't do anything. I just went to my parents' wedding anniversary reception and ceremony. Really great. It's fun seeing all the... I was in the room and realized, like, wow, I know all these people because, like, my parents know all these people. So it's just so bizarre to see that.
Yeah.
All my my parents' friends and then my family members and a few of my friends are there. Really fun time. But that's... anything else been going on with you?
It's
been a while since we've recorded this podcast.
It has been a while, but I've just been focusing on school. Other than that, I was thinking about the anime season and stuff like that, and we've just been a little bit behind.
Yeah, we apologize for that. We keep saying like we'll have to catch up, but not only do we,
but it's
not
but
have
it's
time,
really hard. We record on Wednesday, and one of the shows comes out on Tuesday, and another comes out on Wednesday. It's really unfortunate how the animes are coming out at different times, you know?
Even then,
it would be great if
it slips through our fingers and we're like, oh, I just been...
I feel like if it all came out on one day, I would watch all of it. But I kind of just feel all over the place, and then I miss it, and I'm like... And then Saturday rolls around, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I might as well just catch up on Chainsaw Man on Tuesday. You know, and then I'm like, ugh. And then I forget, and I'm like, oh my god, Blue Lock is going on right now.
And then we're reading manga too.
You were reading, and the World Cup is going on as well, and that's taking up a lot
Football
of my time.
For me.
You know, but yeah, I just think that when eventual Spy Family, Mob Psycho, and Chainsaw Man are gonna drop out because they're only 12 episodes, it's going to be easier to talk about My Hero Academia and Blue Lock when those continue on forward. It's been really great. I've been watching a few clips from the dub that sounds really great for Blue Lock.
Blue Lock, yeah.
Blue Lock, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Interesting to see and all that stuff. Other than that, I started reading. I took a break from Black Clover. I haven't been reading it in a week and a half. I just don't have that spur to get forward. I will eventually. I don't know. I'm thinking of streaming on my channel.
That way, like, people will force you to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of streaming on my channel and being like, I'm reading 100 chapters of Black Clover today, and nobody's gonna stop me.
Yeah,
you know, that's the
every
idea.
Like every chapter I read.
Every like, there's a chapter I read.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, but I'm still trying to figure that out because you got to be careful when you're reading manga on stream, because you don't want to. You need to find a way that the audience is able to figure out where you are in the story, what you're reading and stuff like that, and read it with you. But you also need to have, you know, people who are copyright scanners. They're not like caught on to it. But other than that, last night I began my journey. Well, journey. It's going to be a really short journey, especially since I'm an eighth of the way of what I need to read. Quintessential Quintuplets.
Let's go! Yeah. And the world celebrated. Yeah. Ben has picked a peak. I'm just kidding. But it's because, like, I had in mind is that my other friend who watches this, who reads this series and likes it a lot, our dream plan was to, like, you know, either they come over here and we watch it. I can't come over there. I just don't have that much of the time. I don't have the money to do that.
Yeah.
At least not right now. But
you could record it on. I mean, you guys could record
like,
it online.
Well, yeah, we said that. But then he's like, there's like no theaters in his area. He lives in San Antonio, and apparently there's like no theaters within like 20 miles or like more than that. And I don't think he has a car, so he's not able to watch it relatively soon.
Oh wow.
So I'm like. And I was wanting to watch it like pretty soon because I can't wait that long. Even then, they're not even showing it for like I think more than a week.
No,
like here,
no.
Which really sucks. So I thought I was like, hey Ben, it's just gonna be me. I'm just gonna record. I'm gonna watch the movie. I'm gonna record the thing, and then I want you to like post it and whatever. And then he's like, when does it come out? I'm like, oh, it comes out like Friday. And I'm like, I probably read it by then. I'm like,
yeah, it's only
really? I'm like
only 100 chapters. I do that in my sleep.
84. It's not that bad. Like
I'm reading only 84 because that's where the movie, you know, picks up.
Yeah. I mean, you could finish it. I just feel like it'd be less taxing on you. Like,
No. I'm not gonna finish it. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
Are we watching it dub or sub?
Sub.
You know, sub. Okay. Yeah.
The dub.
Is the dub
okay.
even at?
Is
it even going to be out? I don't
know.
Oh,
yeah, it will. It will
oh,
be
it
out.
Oh, it will. Okay, okay.
But the sub comes up first.
I know. Voice actor for Armin and Tsukuyomi.
Yeah, Josh Grill.
Plays,
Futuro, the main character. The main
Futuro,
guy.
What's his last name that they keep calling? Ugomi?
Usugi.
Usugi, yeah, there you go. That's why Usugi. I think that's probably how you pronounce it. But I
Usugi.
That's why I've been calling him by because that's.
I just call him Futuro. I don't know because that's like.
I know. I mean,
I think all four girls call him Futuro, and then like I think only one of them calls him Usugi.
I think Nino. I think she calls him Usugi.
When she's not.
I don't know. I think the version I'm reading. I think they call him Usugi, but. Cause that's just what I'm doing. It's just interesting.
But this is so weird. Yeah. Like it's your first romance, like real, like it's your first harem.
Yes, I watched a couple of episodes of Horimiya just because.
My friends
were in it. But I mean,
but this is like a different breed.
This is a different breed. And we're gonna talk about my first impressions just real quick. But cause there's a lot going on. And I'll tell you why I think that way from a story context. But
oh, that's hilarious.
But it's fascinating because my main source of romance in anime has come from most shonen have romance, but it's not, it's obviously not a focal point, and it's kind
especially
of
especially in shonen, it's like it just keeps you interested, like ooh, spicy in this action battle
and sometimes people dislike it because they think that the female is seen as a trophy, even though a lot of times I think that's not the case, but I can see how that's taken that way.
They tend to be written off as just like a love interest, and that's pretty much it.
I think a lot of times that people have been trying to rectify that. I know that Hinata, is that her name? Hinata? Is
yeah.
I know that she's supposed to be supposed to be just the love interest, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I hear she has her moments, but what drives me insane in those situations, because I love a good romance story, and I hate it when they like set it up and then nothing happens until, oh, last chapter, they end up together. I'm like, No, you can't just do that.
Oh, Dr. Stone?
Oh, my God.
The worst case.
Taiju and Yuzuriha were like, I was expecting, I don't even expect it to be a romance.
It was the first chapter, dude. Like, they were.
I thought, okay, over time, he'll like, I don't want to see like full on like dates or whatnot. I just want to see
there should have just been a nice moment at the end. There had to have been a nice moment.
Or even worse, when a shonen manga or a series like just doesn't. And they don't end up together in the end.
Yeah, I don't know how they did not do that, you know? I actually think the best case scenario of this is probably Demon Slayer. Like, in terms of, like, a good shonen relationship. I would argue,
I mean, slight spoilers, but there's not... I mean, it's not bad.
I'm not going to say
there's,
who.
It's not bad, but there's, like, nothing that happens in between. It's like, oh, yeah, they go well together.
And that's why a lot of people think the ending is rushed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's not why I think it's rushed, but that particular...
I think they should have had an arc just themselves. I agree with you.
These things need to build up well.
Yeah, it was very much love at first sight. I take that
back. Like Katara...
Katara
and Aang. We didn't see an episode where they like went out on a date, whatever. But we see a progression of the relationship in some way.
Yeah, the Cave of Two Lovers, you know, the... I mean, there was a whole bunch of...
The
Ember Islands players.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of other episodes, I mean, that where the
there's moments where you feel like it's progressing either in a bad way or in a good way, and it feels like in the end, like,
oh,
it built up to this.
The Day of Black Sun. And then the Nightmares and Daydreams episode.
Oh, the fortune teller.
Screw anybody who says that relationship wasn't built up. I hate you, and you are a disgrace to storytelling. I hate you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a whole facet of the internet that believe that Aang and Katara's relationship is one of the worst television relationships ever because it wasn't built up right.
Sorry that it's too vanilla for you losers, but it's built well.
I hate you. I hate you. Anyways, that's the only thing that really grinds my gears is those people who hate on... People who just hate on Avatar The Last Airbender in general. And
they're really looking for a needle in the haystack because there's almost nothing
wrong
with that
series. Their excuse is always, it's a bad series. I've also heard the argument that the ending is a deus ex machina, but I just completely, completely disagree, especially with the lore of the world and the lion turtles and how they spirit bend. I think it's such a brilliant way. Especially for a kid's show, it has to end that way, so it's really brilliant. But anyway, to get back on topic, where I've gotten most of my romance and really good romance, I think spurns from that slice of life animes that have romance, but it's not the main focal point, you know. Slice of life is always about, you know, the friends you have and the moments you have with those friends and stuff like that. Like, what I'm thinking about is one of the best romances I've seen is March Comes In Like a Lion has a really good romance that is really well built up. And it's just, it's a really good romance. Another good example is Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. Like, it's like,
That's like comedy slice of life, and then there's like a romance, like a...
A major point of it, but it's not a romance anime. Definitely not. It's definitely slice of life. But this is the first thing that I'm reading in
terms
of
it's in your
reading.
Face, like, you know,
This is romance.
It's going to be a romance.
And it's... So I actually have, I have read some, some more scandalous manhwas and mangas. I've given them a sort of a perusal. This is giving me that vibe where at any moment,
oh, this is not these the, girls, this is this girls, is the tip of the, yeah. This is not even not even close.
Like in the first one where, like, you know, you see, I think it's who's the first
what's her call Itsuki.
Yeah, Itsuki, like you see her feet and stuff like that, and
no, I think you're talking about Miko.
Oh, it might be. I think it's somebody else. But we get like a, like she's pushing up, you know.
Yeah, that's
Miku. And I was like,
yeah,
at any moment, like her clothes could be coming off. But it is feel like it's riding that edge a little bit, you know. And it's kind of impressive how well he draws these females, especially because
dude,
I think,
me with Horikoshi.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sometimes they're just, he's just too good.
I'm like. Because I don't think he's, like, in terms of mangakas, right? We've read some mangakas where you're like, this guy is the second coming of Picasso, you know, in what he does. And I don't think that this person, like, his backgrounds are kind of mediocre. But, like, when he draws women, you can tell this is where the
and
practice
all the budget goes to, like, yeah, this one panel.
You can tell this is, like, he spends Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday drawing that one panel of Miku or of Nuno.
Nino.
Of all these women. I'm still trying to get the names down, by the way.
No, it's okay. It doesn't help that they all look alike.
No, it doesn't. They're absolutely, and sometimes they dress as each other to kind of throw them off.
Dude, it's I don't even know how, it's unbearable for you in the manga. At least in the anime, you can see that, oh, the color hair, I can kind of tell.
Yeah.
The hair colors are different. But in the manga, it's like, it's
so
gray.
Like, in the part where they're, where you flash forward to the wedding,
yeah,
do you see the hair color of the person?
It's all the same. In the, it's a pinkish rose, but they don't show the voice. So it's assuming that her hair color changed whoever it is.
Okay.
So
So nobody has the hair color that the woman has.
Yeah.
What if he just marries somebody else?
That would suck. But it's really funny because it has like a How I Met Your Mother vibe. Like, okay, he's ending up with someone. It's just a matter of who.
Yeah.
And what makes it even great that it's one of these girls. It just doesn't help that they all look alike.
It doesn't. Isn't like Ted's body count like in the 70s or something like
Except
that?
Except minus that. Yeah, he's like, I mean, I'm just a hopeless romantic. Yeah. Sleeps through half of New York while judging Barney for doing.
I know. But I mean, if his body count is high, I could only imagine Barney's must be in the 500s, you know. But I mean, you have to have that happen. The show was on for so long, you know. But this is interesting because it's, I think that when doing a good romance, you need to always do something different, because we've all seen those or read those romances where it's, you know, it's just formulaic. I feel like there's a lot of romances here in the United States. You know, when we talk about A Christmas, you know, everybody knows Christmas romance.
I just saw one that was like, I mean, no offense. My parents, like, they just pick films on Netflix. And I just saw, I was like eating dinner while they were finishing up a film. It's like a couple, not a couple, guy and a girl. Girl has a fiance already.
Yeah.
Apparently he's an okay guy, but he was just busy during the weekend. Goes to a hotel with this guy. Oh, we have room. I'm like, it's a classic trope.
Yeah.
But you have a fiance, and she's like, oh, we'll take it. They have wine. They start dancing, and then she cheats on her fiance with this random guy, and she's like, oh, I just want to stop before it's too late. I'm like, you already cheated on your fiance. You slept with another man.
You
want
to stop it before it's too late? It's already too late.
But their idea the Western idea of romance is just so bizarre. It just kind of it feels like so pale in comparison.
I definitely think like people have begun to see, like, I really, really like how, especially recently, people realize that it's like, oh, if you cheat on a significant other, you're a scumbag who's afraid to confront the problem, you know. You're afraid to end it already. Guys, if you're listening, and if my one relationship advice, if you're in a relationship and you don't want to be, end it. Like, just end it. You know, and if you're thinking about starting something else with somebody else, just do that. End it, do that. Not in
you
a different.
It, you think it's harder
don't
to
do it in a different order.
Yeah, you think it's harder to deal with the alternative, but it's much. You're just gonna make your life much.
Yeah,
miserable
you're gonna
you,
be much more miserable. Yeah. Exactly. And this is not coming from experience because I've never done that. But
Well, I mean, in an experience, in a sense that we've like experienced it like throughout our daily lives.
Well, I mean, it's happened to me before. You know?
Oh, I just meant like people around me. I just like I take notes. I'm like, oh, interesting.
I've been cheated on before, but I mean, I haven't dated anybody different since high school. So I mean, that was a long time ago.
Oh yeah. So like, shut up. Like,
but yeah. Anyway, but so. And, you know, it's just like you said, like, it's always the big city woman goes to this small town and meets
her boyfriend just doesn't care about her, has a job where he's too busy for her.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know.
Exactly. But, I mean, and what anime always does so well is that it's always different. It's always... It's something that's just a unique idea. And yeah, it's a little bit weird. Like, sometimes the stories are just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like most of the time, it's like, if this was a normal, you know, American romance, it would be, all the quintuplets would be one person.
It'd be Lindsay Lohan, but like four times.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like, she's bad at math. He's bad at love. Come join us for the quintessential, you know, and that would be the show.
Yeah,
you
it'd
know,
be like a
quintessential
show.
Romance, you know. Yeah. But instead, it's this time is she's bad at math. He's bad at love, and she's bad at history. She's bad at science. And what? There are five of them.
Pretty sure the film trailer that just came out. It literally looks like a. This feels like a romance drama, but like Western.
Yeah.
Like now that
yeah,
I think
yeah.
about it. But yeah. it's something that, yeah, this story does in Japanese romance stories, just like kind of like all stories in Japanese, the reason why I love manga so much. It feels like you know all stories and you feel like you know all genres, but I feel like in the Japanese media, they just flip them on their head sometimes.
Yes.
So you're like, I never thought they could do something like that.
And it feels like they're always growing, and I mean not always, because obviously there are thousands and hundreds of manga that are so mediocre that we just haven't read, right? Mm-hmm. But there are so many good stories to have been told, even so much so that sometimes I pick out random mangas at the bookstore and I'm like, yeah, this is great, like this is better than some of the comics that we have going on here. But I completely agree with you that they continue to change it on its head and they continue to, you know, do different stuff. Like the idea for fun pirates, I feel like was never like some, you know,
pirates are always going to be taken like seriously, like, you know, grimy. They're like in real life, they're actually scumbag criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody
ever thinks about, you know, what if pirates had superpowers, you know?
What if
like
you fight fire with fire? Literally.
Yeah, literally. Exactly. But the thing that's fascinated me the most is right now I'm on chapter 10 and it's a firework festival that they're at, and
the more you get into slice of life and romance, you're like, oh, I've been waiting for
I know the tropes. I know the tropes. I know the
you
New
start,
Year's
you,
festival.
You immediately recognize the patterns. You're like,
I mean, Nagatoro had this.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But it's fascinating because, and I'm a little bit afraid that this is what the story is just going to be, but it's done really well with the pacing so far.
I feel like it gets, it's not really a setting up phase, but like it does like does more twists and like more things.
Yes.
Like really.
But
like,
the thing that I necessarily wanted to talk about really today, because next week we're going to review the entire series.
Yeah.
So join us for that. And also last Friday, we just released a review of
the movie
last Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
Give me a day.
An hour after we watch it.
An hour after we watch it.
Yeah.
You know, but we're going to have a review on it because we want to review all the anime movies that we can to, you know, give you all that.
Yeah.
Give you all this stuff. And hey, guys, we read a lot of shonen. Shonens are long, really long. Quintessential quintuplets, really short. And Edgar likes it, and so far I've liked it. So give it a read. It's just a fun time.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about this firework thing is that it is a million tropes of of fireworks. So when a romance mangaka or when somebody's writing a romance, they could go, okay, I can do this trope and this trope. But this mangaka went, okay, I have five women. And what if they all did all the tropes to him? And it just feels like he's being thrown at different women. Like
this poor guy is like going through it.
He's having the worst time. And he doesn't even want the dude just wants to study, you know, and pay off his debt. So I do feel for him in that kind of way. But I mean, you have the trope of somebody getting caught up in a crowd, and then the guy comes out of nowhere and he's like, "Here, hold on to me." Then you have the trope of they just climb the stairs, and then they both watch the fireworks together. And then you have the trope of they're walking together, and somebody wants to interview them and be like, "Well, aren't you two a couple?" And then they're like, "Well, no, we're not a couple.
It's a misunderstanding, you know."
And they're like, "Oh, no way," you know. And then you also have the trope of, you know, the girl who's really, really, really responsible and takes him away, and she's like, she's like in charge of everyone, but you know, deep down inside, she has a girly side towards her, you know. So it's like there are, like, it's like a million tropes are being thrown.
It's with different girls, so it's like never like on the same girl. So it's like, at least when it's only one girl, you're like, okay, you can't ignore this. But with it's five girls, like, I don't know where I don't know what's going on.
And I was reading chapter 10, and I was like, oh my god. I was like, oh, and it's like every panel there's a different trope, and I was like, wow, like this is, you know, like there's a, I feel like it's trope breaking to do all of them, you know, which is really fascinating. So I thought that was interesting. So definitely come back next week. I got 70 chapters to read. And you know, that's gonna be a journey, a whole 70 chapters to read, a movie to watch. So
it's a fun series that I really like to see your input on, especially jumping right into this.
It's gonna be a quintessential. It's gonna be a quintessential week.
Yeah. Nice one. Yeah, but it's a fun series, and I can't wait to talk more about it.
Definitely.
Other than that, I think we're just gonna get straight into the news because holy moly, guacamole! Did we miss like a lot of stuff?
Yeah,
I mean, that happened. Mind you, I didn't mark it all, but it has been, like, you know, fairly almost 2 weeks.
I'm sure, like, for the people who are really into anime, you know the big stories that came out last week. You know all that stuff.
Yeah, some of this will be dated, but, you know, we want to talk about it in general because, you know, it's still news, newsworthy nonetheless.
So we have confirmation that Crunchyroll has licensed Hell's Paradise and The Ancient Magus Bride Season 2 and Yuri Is My Job. They've just done a whole bunch of licensing for a whole bunch of anime, which means if we follow what has been kind of the trend, most likely the dub for Hell's Paradise is going to come out of Crunchyroll, which, I mean,
did you see the trailer that came out for it?
Yeah, brilliant. It looks great. I'm still a little bit worried because MAPPA is busy with other projects.
Every project they're doing like half the biggest animes. Like,
you're right, but I mean, in terms of like things that I want them to do well, I want them obviously to do Chainsaw Man well, but I think that that's just a given. It's the biggest anime that has come out basically since probably My Hero Academia, I would think. Maybe Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm not sure. I have to check the numbers out on that. But I'm just really worried for Hell's Paradise. I'm really worried that they're going to shove it to the side and be like, okay, well, this is its own thing. When in reality, I think in terms of story, it might be the best, other than Vinland Saga, it might be the best thing that they're working on right now. And I mean, you can always look at Shibuya arc and all that stuff. But I mean, in terms of just the one story, Hell's Paradise is such a good story and it deserves such a good adaptation.
I feel like even though it's like pretty popular, it's like really, I don't hear the general consensus talking about it as much.
And that's what scares me, is because Vinland Saga, Attack on Titan, Jujutsu Kaisen.
A bad adaptation could just kill the fan base, even just manga readers alone.
Exactly. And Chainsaw Man, they were all had a pretty substantial fan base before they started animating it, right? But it's dangerous with Hell's Paradise because it doesn't have that.
What I'd like to see is for this to do well, get really popular, and then not only just buy the manga, but I really want to see Ayoshimon get picked up again. It really sucks that such a successful Mangaka, after writing such a hit series, get one of his new series canceled.
Yeah.
Some people says, what if it's not good? It got great. I haven't finished it yet because I just got I don't want to get invested in something where I just know it just gets axed five chapters later.
No,
but that's just really unfortunate. But I really do hope this show gets a good adaptation.
Yeah, it is good to read it and be like, okay, what happened? Where was this going? You know. And just kind of theorizing all that stuff. It's not good for the general consensus, but in terms of storytellers who want to do this, it's actually pretty good. The Dragon Ball Super manga is going to return in December with a new arc, and we got a new visual with Goten and Trunks looking as superheroes.
I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah, I wonder. But this is fascinating because we've never really focused on Goten and Trunks. Especially recently, we haven't focused on Goten and Trunks in the past couple of arcs. We haven't focused on anybody except Goku, Vegeta, and Frieza, really. So this is going to be interesting. I really hope Dragon Ball goes back to the days of a more inclusive kind of cast, like it was during the days of early Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball. Of course, Goku and Vegeta will always be the main characters. They're the most popular. But I was really pleased with Dragon Ball Super Superhero, so I hope that they continue to make their cast more inclusive with who they have.
Let me have to pull it up right here. High Dive announced at Anime New York City panel Akasaka. It's like a tongue twister. The mangaka for Love is War, new series, which is anime to debut, Oshinoko, which is to come out next year, High Dive has the rights to stream the series.
Okay, you know,
really interesting. High Dive is another anime streaming website. They exclusively have Call of the Night and I believe Maid Wars or something like that. I forget what
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Something like that. I'm butchering the name, but it's like something along that line.
Good. Diversify the streaming services. As much as I love working for Crunchyroll, ever since the merger with Funny, they've been having a little bit of a stranglehold.
I've never heard someone call that funny.
You know, Funimation.
I know.
But they, I do want them to be a diversity because competition is good elsewhere, and it's also good for all the actors to work at different places. You know, you never want to have a stranglehold on an industry. Disney.
This is a big one under their belt, though. A series that everyone loves, looking forward to. If you love Love is War, this one also has great reviews, and it's still being written by Akasaka. The anime will debut in 2023 with an extended 90-minute first episode. Yeah. So it's going to have a big debut. So stay tuned for a high dive of that if you're interested in watching. Also, we got... Let's see right here...
We got love.
Ben, Vinland Saga by Makoto Yukiri Muda will be releasing in English a new premium collector hardcover 3-in-1 volume, a new omnibus. It's really weird because if you think about it, the English releases right now for Vinland Saga are already omnibus.
Oh no, my money.
I don't think there's an official...
I will be buying that omnibus.
Yeah.
It will be the first manga that I bought two copies of.
Do you know what I really like? Like a deluxe edition, like the way Berserk has. Like if there's like a Vinland Saga version.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Like Attack on Titans. Attack on Titan has like four different versions of their manga. They have an omnibus version. They have the regular volumes. They have the Titanic version or whatever it's called.
The Colossal Edition. They have the boxed.
They have the box sets.
And then they have the...
They also might have a 3-in-1.
Yeah, they have a regular omnibus. They have the box sets. They have the Colossal Edition. And then they have the...
I think they have 3-in-1s, right?
Yeah, I could be wrong, But I wonder which manga does have the most like versions of itself.
Oh, it's got to be... It either has to be Death Note or Attack on Titan.
They have three. I think Death Note only has three.
Only has three?
Attack on Titan just might be it.
I think it's Attack on Titan. It's got to be. I can't think of anything else that I've seen. Eventually, it might be Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
It might be Dragon Ball has a colored version, has the original manga version that's just called Dragon Ball. Then they have the other re-released version that is called Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Then they have a colored version. Then they have the full big version. Yeah, it's Dragon Ball. Yeah.
Probably. I'm surprised One Piece doesn't have. I know they One Piece has an omnibus. They have a box set.
Yeah, why doesn't One Piece have a big version?
Because there's too many. You're like, we can't. We're gonna run out of paper if we keep doing too many versions.
They will
of One
eventually,
Piece,
like. But we'll be in our like our 40s or something when they do it. When One Piece is finished. Edgar, you remember Jujutsu Kaisen Zero?
I think I do.
Remember like the second Manga Monday show we've ever done? That was crazy. That was a long time ago. That was so crazy.
Wow.
Jujutsu Kaisen Zero officially tops Weathering With You as the sixth biggest anime film of
all time.
So yeah, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, it revealed on Thursday that the film sold 20.51 million tickets and earned 26.5 billion yen or $191 million overall.
So it was still in theaters? Like it was still like breaking away, like making them.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably still in theaters in Japan. That's probably why it just got over it. Jujutsu Kaisen overall had 195, Weathering With You had 189. The Japan doesn't have a lot of big box office, you know, hits like anime. So their animes, they're going to be playing for a very, very long time. I assume Jujutsu Kaisen Zero is probably going to finish at the end of this year. But I'm sure One Piece Film Red is going to be playing probably a year from now still. It's probably going to keep going on for a long time, especially with how big it's going to
keep getting higher.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I actually think it might be a fingertip away from Demon Slayer at the end of its run, but I don't think it's going to beat it. But, you know, yeah.
Ben, I got sad. For me, not. I mean, Mushoku Tensei, while it did celebrate its 10th anniversary November 21st, its first web novel chapter was published on November 22nd, 2012. Mm-hmm. The official light novel ended on November 24th in Japanese publication.
Edgar, you gotta get reading Japanese. You gotta learn Japanese fast.
I can't. But and what's worse is that these like releases are so slow. Digitally, uh-huh. English officially, it's like on volume like 19 and like the volume 24.
Yeah.
I think the digital release for like the last volume is like slated for this time next year.
Oh, really?
And the physical release is like probably February of 2024. Mm. So like I'm gonna have to wait a long time. I'm pretty sure someone's like unofficially translating these. Like, but I don't want to. Like, you know what I mean? They're not the same as like scans.
Yeah,
like,
no, I get you. Don't worry.
Because you can misinterpret like a whole paragraph. I'm like, oh, I'm not getting any of this. But this is a series I really, really love. And it's officially come to an end. I heard it ended off on a great, great, great note. So,
good.
You know, sad news, but all the while great. Go check it out if y'all haven't.
Yep.
It's a good read.
Edgar, we've been gone for 2 weeks. You want to know what else has started these past 2 weeks?
What?
The World Cup. We haven't even talked
about
it at all.
No,
the World Cup.
We're in America, Ben. No
weeks.
One cares about soccer.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody cares. Although I have seen people caring a lot recently.
Well, when your country is winning, you want to rub it in every other country's face.
Every other country's face. But you want to know who else's country is winning? Japan. They are in the second.
The blue lock is real.
The blue lock is real.
Blue lock.
And even though it is most likely, I don't want to eat my words. I'm just going to knock on some wood. Because if you didn't know, I'm German and I support the German national team. So this is very, very 50-50 scenario because I love Blue Lock and I love Japan and I think they're great, but I will always support Germany. So I'm like,
me with Mexico and US and Japan.
Yeah,
like.
And I'm like, damn. but yeah, so obviously Japan beat Germany in what is probably their biggest ever win in history. Which is funny because they might not even get out of the group, which would be really, really sad, but I would also be very, very happy because that means Germany would go through. But yeah, the Blue Lock illustrator, Yasuki Nomura, he did an awesome, awesome little nice little sketch drawing
of
them saying historic victory, go get him, Japan. And it was Isagi looking a little
It's so great. Man,
Isagi looking a little bit like, let's go, you know. If you also didn't know, the Japanese jerseys were heavily based on the Blue Lock anime, not heavily based on the mangaka Yusuke Nomura. He created them. He drew it in a manga, he drew it on a page, and then they made it a reality. So yeah, I've seen a whole bunch of stuff saying the anime of this, the anime adaptation of this game is gonna go hard, and I was like, yeah.
I was telling Ben, can you imagine if Japan wins this World Cup? Would that this technically be the ending of the manga?
Yeah,
that'd be hilarious.
It will be, if they win. It will be, but I mean, they might win it in the manga because it's a like the manga is in its own reality.
Yeah.
But I would love to see them. If they do win the 2022 World Cup, you know, I would love to see them beat Germany along the way, you know, and kind of have it mirror this.
Yeah.
Because in terms of like a comeback story, there's no better one. That game was really, really good for a comeback story. However, I do think, just real quick, saying and talking about Germany, Germany is learning. Hansi Flick is, in my opinion, the best coach in the world. And if Germany get out of the group stage, I think they will be very, very dangerous. So other teams, you better hope they're gonna defeat them.
You better watch out. You better watch out.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
You better watch out. But which is interesting for me because I am very, for the teams that I support, Germany and Bayern Munich, I am very harsh on them. And when we suck, I am very able to go.
It's me with the Steelers right now.
I'm like, we're awful. Yeah.
No, but it's really fun seeing Americans get very much into it, especially considering how much they're yelling at every other country. Like, it's called soccer. They're like in bars, like yelling, not knowing who's what, who's like, what's a forward, you know? Nonetheless, it's nice. It's fun. That's why the World Cup's so great, because it brings people who normally aren't drawn to the sport. And hopefully people get more into it because, you know, it's the beautiful game. It's like absolutely
beautiful,
crazy
game
to watch.
It is.
I got Ben. This isn't really manga news, but it's big news. Bob Iger steps back into the CEO of Disney position while
I mean, Disney owns Ghibli, so that's a pretty big, you know, still pretty big for pretty big for anime as well.
Wait. I said Bob Iger steps back in for CEO.
Yeah.
What does Ghibli have to do with this?
Disney. Studio Ghibli is owned by Disney, right?
Oh, you're trying to relate it to... I thought. Okay, I know what you mean now.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, why are you bringing Ghibli into this? Well, yeah, Disney has... I just meant, you know what I mean. Yeah.
So what does this mean, Edgar, overall?
I don't want to
see any changes?
This can be something totally unrelated to completely business.
Could he be like the new Elon Musk, come in and fire everybody, and then, you know, everything
could this
goes
be
wrong?
The good Elon Musk version steps in and actually saves the day?
Or is he just gonna come in and it's like, oh hey, he came in, and then that's it?
But it's no secret that right now you know, Marvel and Star Wars, even if you want to argue, are in a bit of a gray area in this past phase. I mean, Star Wars is not even in phase, because they I don't know how they do
Star Wars is just I don't even know what Star Wars is doing. Star Wars, I think, is a mixed bag, especially with things like Andor and Mandalorian doing so well, but then there's also things like the Book of Boba Fett, which wasn't received very well.
Bad Batch.
All the animated stuff is always well received.
Okay, it was well received.
Was well received. It's not at its climax yet, but it was the first season, you know.
Oh, okay.
And it had some great moments, but I mean, Book of Boba Fett wasn't received well. Kenobi wasn't received well at all. Even though the last two episodes, in my opinion, should have been the whole show, because that was great. But a whole bunch of people are just they're on the fence about it, even though I think Star Wars nowadays is a mixed bag, and you just you pick what you like and you go with
modern Star Wars, especially, and as much as people like to ignore it, the sequels are always tossed in that bag, you know, because
the biggest things that Disney have done, you know. I mean, you could argue that The Mandalorian is, because it kicked off Disney Plus and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, the sequels were some of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So, I mean, you always have to keep that in abundance. And I do think that the sequels are I say this as a Star Wars fan, you'd never want to get too carried away. But in the Star Wars fan in me talking, I believe that they're a abhorrent betrayal of all things Star Wars. All three of them are, I think, in their own different ways, are a abhorrent betrayal of what Star Wars stands for. So yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, but it's it Marvel is in a very similar situation.
I actually think Marvel is worse.
Yeah,
I think Marvel is in a worse position.
It's because, like, man, I remember telling. So I was talking with a friend of mine talking about Black Panther. And then, like, I told him, like, can you believe, like, this is how, like, Phase 4 ended? And, like, this is how it ends?
Mm-hmm.
This is Phase 4?
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where's, like, the Avengers film? Really? Yeah. I don't
Guardians of the Galaxy was technically the last thing in Phase 4.
But still, nonetheless, it's, like, how you expect the big, like, ta-da at the very end. But, like, no, it's, you know, I mean, it's just not.
It's over.
And this is, like, I feel like, and if you enjoy, like, this Phase 4 and think that, like, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, everyone's okay with it, I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, you know, you're an absolute idiot. Like, yeah. I feel like it comes to a certain point.
Funny that we bring this up, Edgar, because I actually had a poll that I put on the Manga Monday show a couple weeks ago. I was just doing a whole bunch of polls, and we'll talk about the polls at the end. I mean, we haven't been talking about them for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, one of our polls on our community tab was, now that Marvel Phase 4 is over, what do you think about the phase as a whole? And about 75 people voted, which is a good amount.
Okay.
3% said loved it, 15% said pretty good, a few hiccups, 28% meh, and the majority of it said most of it was awful with 40%. And then the third most was garbage through and through.
Yeah, so you can get a good read on how most people feel about the MCU.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I voted most of it was pretty bad. I'm like,
yeah, I did most of it was awful. I mean, as you'll see from our Manga Monday show from 2 weeks ago, you'll know that we think that Marvel Phase 4 is worse than a mixed bag because it is. I mean, I in terms of, like, it's okay if you like individual stuff, but even though I like Multiverse of Madness, major problems writing-wise that was that was almost non-existent from other phases of the MCU. But I think it's in a worse position than Star Wars right now because I think Star Wars is a mixed bag, whereas I think the last five projects Marvel has released, I haven't liked any of them.
Yeah.
And honestly, I do think that Thor...
a Thor film.
Yeah, as I'm thinking about it, I do think Thor might be one of the worst MCU movies, like F-tier. I hate it that much. But... you know, some people liked it because they like dumb fun, and that's okay. You know,
no, that's not okay. No, that isn't okay. We have to draw a line.
No.
These people have to learn, Ben.
No. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Bob Iger has anything to do with the next phase.
He walks into the building; it's all on fire. He's like, all right, let's start getting to work.
It's going to be interesting to see if all of this had to do with, like, COVID restrictions, and maybe that's why it was bad. I mean, that is maybe very cope thinking.
Hey, man, we saw Knives Out 2, and that was done under COVID. Like,
of course,
That was great. Like,
yeah, but that also Knives Out 2 makes you think, like, man, sometimes Disney takes brilliant people and makes really bad movies, you know.
Yeah.
Especially since The Last Jedi, but you know.
Yeah. But like I wonder if this is like going to be like a Kevin Feige with a Blade film. He walked in and is like, this is awful, garbage. We're doing it again. I wonder if Bob Iger is going to do the same, like, all this? No. Like
maybe that was Kevin Feige finally taking a stand and being like, you know what? These movies aren't good enough. Redo them. You know, maybe that
we're
was
a Thanos snap all the MCU. Like,
yeah, maybe
in a literal sense.
I actually kind of hope he does. I think I'd be okay if the entire, because I mean, we all know that Secret Wars, every time they did Secret Wars in the comics, it's because they wanted a giant reset button on the comics so that they could redo and reboot all the superheroes again.
If that were the case, would you really like want another Avengers, another Iron Man, another Captain America?
Nope. Reboot it and do the X-Men.
Yeah.
And do it well.
But they're not going to stop themselves. I mean, you know that.
No, they're not.
They're going to keep they're, good. They're
what they're
do
probably
going
to do is they're probably, it's going to be some way that the universe is going to be reset, but it's also going to continue in some way. You know how it is.
You know how Hollywood be like.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Edgar.
Yeah. Love is War. Mm-hmm. Their film, The First Kiss Never Ends, heads to U.S. theaters February 23.
Wow.
I believe this in Japan comes out December. I could be wrong about that.
Should I be reading that before February, probably?
I mean, it's not the end. It's not the end.
It's not the end?
No, it's not. But it is. But I mean, I will be watching.
Should I read up to that point then? I probably should.
If you want. Yeah. I suggest the anime. I suggest the anime.
Yes,
I highly
I'm
going to
watch the dub because I know that the dub is, you know.
You can do whichever. The anime just makes it, knocks it out of the park.
Great.
One of the best adaptations.
Yes, I promised Edgar when I'm done with Black Clover, I'm going to start watching that. And then I'm going to, and then at the same time, I'm going to read Soul Eater. So yes, that's yeah. I'm gonna knock out one of two of Edgar's favorites with a stick.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hit both of them.
See, whop, Edgar, whop. I read two.
Yeah. Go, whop whop, and then after that, I'm finally gonna read Berserk.
You with the whop whop, and I'm like,
yeah,
with One Piece.
You're One Piece. You're like, I'm all, and I'm over here like, bam, quintessential quintuplets, Black Clover, bam, bam.
I'm like scooping salt out of an ocean mine.
And,
like,
and it's like it's over now, right? No, that was just the time skip. You
know, yeah. Yeah, we're.
And I just know, Edgar, it's getting longer and longer every
you do
week.
That. You do that like we're even, right? I'm like, no.
And it's like Edgar's like it's getting longer and longer every week. Oda's adding more ice cream to that ice cream.
If I keep taking breaks, need to keep reading.
No, it's fine. Take your time.
But once I finish 500, even though it'll be like 1,200, I'll still feel like it's like halfway.
Yeah, I know.
To me,
I think you should take a break after 500. That's what I did.
I can't.
I read Hell's Paradise in between. After I got to the time skip, I read Hell's Paradise, and then I did like a month of reading Hell's Paradise. And then
here's
what
I'll tell you why. If I get to Wano, and if all I keep hearing like it's ending, One Piece is ending, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna be like freaking out. I can't do that.
That's gonna be like 4 years. Years from now, you'll be fine. Don't worry.
That's what I'm saying. If I take a break at 500,
you're right.
I cannot do that.
Do whatever you want. And if you want to catch the hype, I would keep reading then. Yeah, definitely.
Tomohiro won's new manga called Versus.
The Versus? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Color page from Monthly Shonen Series magazine. The author of One Punch Man and Mob Psycho did a new series. Did you check out the poster, Ben? Looks pretty sick.
Yeah, it looks pretty sick. Yeah.
This one's like the least one looking. I mean, kind of. I mean, this looks like the least one looking. Because Mob Psycho and One Punch Man like look fairly similar in terms of character design or monster villains. Like, yeah, that's like a one villain. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, good for one.
He just wants to stretch his,
one,
you know.
I mean, it's not a wonder. He's probably going to knock it out of the park. So it's going to be another peak series that we'll get into.
No, he's definitely not a one-hit wonder. He created two of the most profitable and in my opinion, two of the best series ever made in terms of storytelling. It's really good. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of film news. Just know that Suzumi no Tojimari film, it earned 6.6 billion yen in 17 days. Huge. It's on its way to probably being up there with Weathering with You and all of that stuff. So it's just another Makoto Shinkai masterpiece. Or masterclass. We haven't seen it yet. We can't call it a masterpiece, but
it's getting good reviews, getting good audience reactions.
I mean, I assumed, but yeah, it's been number one for a couple of weekends, which is, you know, like it's nothing to scoff at, especially since that time I got reincarnated as a slime also released a movie. And that's another big series. But Makoto Shinkai, he releases stuff and all of Japan goes to watch it. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to see when it comes here. I got a couple of just small. There's a couple of new mangas, unknown mangas. Here at the Manga Monday Show, we always want to make you aware to just smaller mangas. Go check it out, go read it, then tell us in the comments if that's something that we should read as well. But one of my favorite mangas was because we found it here on the Manga Monday Show, which was Dead Dead Demon Destruction, which is getting an anime soon, but we don't know when that'll be. But Viz Media on Manga Plus is going to be launching a new manga called Ichigoki's Under Control. It's going to be in English. Obviously, it's going to be translated in English, and here's the synopsis. Ichigoki is a regular kid who can't wait to start high school, but an unexpected encounter with the fists of the eastern lowland gorilla that has escaped from the zoo results in his death.
Harambe?
Yeah, maybe. he somehow regains consciousness, only to discover that he's become a full metal bodied cyborg. Thus begins Cyborg Ichigoki's wacky and aggravating misadventures with Misiao, his mad scientist friend from childhood, a coming-of-age buddy gag manga from the Seiji Hashi creator of I'm From Japan, Chikyu Ningen Terishan. So yeah, a really good established mangaka. He's making a nice little gag manga of somebody who died from an ape from the zoo.
The good ending really of Harambe.
Yeah, the good ending.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, yeah. I don't mean the kids that died, but like, right. You know what people mean. Like,
no, I get you. And then my last news story of today, Jujutsu Kaisen director Sung-Hoon Park unveils his project Bullet Anime and Disney. They're releasing a whole bunch of new animes, Disney. They announced on Wednesday that Sung-Hoon Park, the director of Jujutsu Kaisen and Garo Vanishing Line, spent a decade drafting the story for the original series, a tentative titled project Bullet/Bullet. And it's going to stream on Disney Plus. We don't know when it is, but I think it looks rather promising with the nice little design that they have going on there. So cool. Yeah, that's going to be very cool.
Yeah, speaking of Disney expands partnership with Kodansha to release more exclusive anime series, just like based on manga produced by Kodansha, like Ben just explained. And a lot of people were surprised, but if you don't know, Disney already has a lot of anime in the category. And if you're like wondering, well, where is it? That's because of Japan's Disney Plus, mind you. Every region has their different version and catalogs of series, even on Netflix. I hear like Netflix in any other country has a bigger and better catalog than America's catalog and Netflix.
Yes.
Really dumb. So like that's why VPNs come in clutch. I don't have one, but that's what I keep hearing. Like if you have a VPN, you only need one subscription for like
everything.
I remember hearing like Mushoku Tensei is now on Disney Plus. I looked it on my Disney Plus. I'm like, where is it? I'm like, oh, it's not there. It's in Japan. They got stuff like Love is War, Attack on Titan, Jujutsu Kaisen, a lot of series, Dr. Stone on Disney Plus. It's rare and weird to see, but you know, apparently they're going to be adding a lot more stuff with Kodansha. Mm-hmm. Probably means Blue Lock, probably. I know Kodansha is under, has Blue Lock's rights and all that. They publish it, so Blue Lock will probably be on that if it isn't already.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all the news that we got, at least the ones that we marked down.
Yeah.
If it comes out soon, we'll be talking about it next week.
Yep.
But let's just talk about the two big series, at least the one that we're up to date quickly.
Why don't you talk about Chainsaw Man first?
Yeah, let's talk about Chainsaw Man. Get into Chainsaw Man. All right, we're going to do the last song. Yeah, that's how it ends.
Yeah.
But Chainsaw Man, Ben, this is the episode that I've been looking most forward to. Actually, we didn't talk about, let's just talk about quickly the hotel one, the arc that you didn't really like, apparently.
Oh, yeah, but it was brilliant.
It was great.
I literally have nothing else to say other than, like, I didn't like that arc in the manga, and the anime made me like it. So, yeah, that's the highest praise for me, because so far, I mean, I believe all manga is, like, every time I read a manga, I'm like, this is the most of the time it's better than the anime. It just, when an anime I feel like is better than a manga, that's a real testament to how good the anime is, such as the first three seasons of Attack on Titan and now Chainsaw Man in that one part. I still think the manga is superior in most of the episodes.
What do you think of Kobeni? Like, these few episodes, we got a lot of Kobeni.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Obviously, they gave her a little bit more of a spotlight than there is in the manga.
She's a fan favorite. Of course. Underestimated on how much the manga readers really love Kobeni. I thought it'd be like power or something, considering
what
we know. Dude,
she's huge, but you want to know who's even bigger? Kobeni's car.
Her car, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so funny seeing all these anime-only reactors be like, what is the big deal? I don't get it. She's actually really annoying. Can we like kill her? And all the manga readers are like, no, bro, no, you're wrong.
No,
best girl down. Right here.
Sit down. You know, but I know you talked about that there's a big reaction towards Himeno, that a lot of people dislike her.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious why, but like, I guess manga readers took it in a different light. Yeah. A lot of people are I'm probably gonna have to censor this word because I don't know if we can say it. A lot of people are calling her because of like her advances on Denji, making out with her, then insinuating that she wanted to do it with him, nearly doing it with him, but then saying like, oh no, you know, I can't, and she was drunk. And people really, really didn't like her. They called her a groomer. They called it her manipulating Denji because they considered Denji's age for one thing, and Himeno being like in her 20s or whatnot. But
isn't the age of consent in Japan 17?
Yeah,
I believe it is.
And then people were like, but he's 16. I'm like, yeah, but he doesn't even know his birthday yet.
I think it's heavily implied that Denji has no idea what his age is.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be honest,
I mean, it's, I don't know, it just rubbed people off in a,
no, definitely.
I mean, not, it was not subtle why. It's not a secret why Himeno rubbed off on people really the wrong way. I just like, I don't know, just reading it, we've just been so desensitized to like things like this to where like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
But people really, really hated her to the point where it kind of annoyed me. I'm like, people were like, actually, spoilers for the recent anime, if you haven't watched the newest episode, the one with the katana devil where she dies.
Yeah.
People like celebrated. People were like, oh, thank God. Or the people were like, oh, the best episode ever. She's dead. I'm like,
okay, dude.
Okay. Like, that's like, y'all are taking it a wee bit too far. To the point where I was getting annoyed, where like, I wasn't really defending her, but I'm like, you know, I hope like all your favorite characters die like whoever it is, like, you know, if it happens.
Yeah,
but like,
I don't know. I mean, I see where they're coming from, but also it's a story in a deeply messed up world, and if you're angry that like this girl who's just a little bit slightly older than, you know,
is probably the best case scenario of what's about to happen in this entire series.
I mean, these are probably the guys who are, or the people who are probably thirsting over Makima, right? I mean, yeah, Makima right now, and oh, they're in for a rude awakening. They're in for a rude awakening, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I mean, not that Himeno was really my favorite, but it was sad seeing her
go. I liked
her.
I think she was really great.
Yeah, especially her ties with Aki.
I think she was very important for the manga to make you go, oh.
It's
kind of similar to Attack on Titan, where they need to kill off that kind of character to go, you know, like the only person who's really safe is Denji, you know? Yeah.
Or is he? Like,
yeah, we don't
because,
know.
Because, like, he got shot as of this latest episode that we're recording.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because the Katana Devil episode, this is like a big staple and really, like, oh, this is Chainsaw Man. This is what it's about. Mm-hmm. Even people who were able to predict things couldn't predict what happened this episode.
Yeah.
Such an amazing episode. Really tense when they immediately shoot Makima and like her lackeys and like the people she was with on her way to Kyoto.
Yeah,
they end up shooting her. This anime just is shot like a film. Like, it's like there's dolly shots, there's panning, there's like a lot of great stuff going on here. The lighting is like fantastic, and the devils, every time they use them, even on the bad guy side, like, it's always sinister and it's always like some, like, there's a cost here no matter what. But it seems like as of right now, like the bad guys that we're looking at, it seems like it's really easy for them. But Himeno loses her entire body because she trades it away for using the entire body of the ghost devil. Horrifying, by the way. Obviously, I believe the manga did it a bit justice, but just because of how raw it was. And you know what I mean? Like the ghost face devil is like absolutely disgusting to look at. But it's also really cool with the flower neck. Katana Devil has such a sick design. He's included one of my favorite volume covers of the series.
Yeah,
music fantastic. The pacing and the action off the walls. And bravo, MAPPA! It's like probably the best episode yet so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is episode I was looking forward to because the next few episodes, I'm like, yes, now I'm like now I'm looking forward to it, and people will get really invested in.
Yeah,
it's pretty much it with Chainsaw Man. Want to get into My Hero?
Your favorite part of the manga, right?
No. I just meant I was looking forward to the episode moving forward. My favorite part of manga hasn't happened yet.
My Hero Academia?
Oh, My Hero Academia, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the manga, yeah. Where it starts.
Where Deku is just absolutely wrecking. Just an absolute wrecking ball of... And in viewing it again, yeah, I can see your point that it wasn't done the best.
However, for those of you who are hating on this, y'all are stupid.
Yeah.
Y'all are idiots.
I'm a little bit weird. I'm just a little bit estranged right now. If you're reading the manga right now and you say, yeah, My Hero Academia is mid, I can see where you're coming from. But if you're watching the season and you go, yeah, My Hero Academia is mid, I'm just a little bit like...
They just want everything to be so perfect, yeah. So perfect, Ben. If they find one flaw, I think
it's hard to go and watch...
It's the same thing. They compare one frame, moving frame, one frame to like the most to a week spent worth on a panel.
I think that's not how that works. I think it's hard to watch Chainsaw Man and then My Hero Academia. Chainsaw Man obviously had some more years of development under its belt.
Yeah.
They've obviously been working on Chainsaw Man for a lot longer. MAPPA obviously has a lot more money. I also think it's hard for people to watch Mob Psycho done by the same company and go, well, why can't I get that? You know, but Mob Psycho has probably been worked on for the past 3 or 4 years, you know. And I just think that My Hero isn't like that. My Hero, you're lucky that My Hero isn't a weekly show like One Piece or Dragon Ball.
Or Black Clover. Or at least Black Clover was, but yeah. Probably will be again.
Which how big it is, you know.
Yeah.
You're lucky that it is seasonal and not vice versa. But I think that I do have some grievances with this season. I think the blue sky background is such a boring setting.
That was in the manga already, wasn't it?
It was, but Horikoshi's art makes it different. If you
does it leave it up to interpretation, would you say?
Yes, I think so. If you put clouds over it, there would be no difference, you know? If you put clouds over, like, made it cloudy and stuff like that, there would be no difference in it, and it would make Shigaraki more menacing. It would give him some more layers to the background of his stuff, because sometimes the background just seems a little bit too plain. But I actually kind of like that it's, you know, it is daytime, and it doesn't seem like this is a time period where a villain would be attacking.
Yeah, it's contrasting, you know? in a way.
In a way, yeah, yeah. But I think that the anime is, sorry, I'm getting text messages that Mexico are scoring.
Oh finally. My God, are you serious?
Mexico just scored.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. But Argentina scored against Poland, and they need Poland to at least tie or win against Argentina to move through.
No.
Yeah, so it looks like Argentina and Poland are moving in right now. Keep this in the podcast. We're
people,
doing this live.
People who are listening are either like, oh, yay for you guys, or like, you poor boys.
Yeah,
like,
you poor boys. Exactly. Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I have no stake in this because Lewandowski no longer plays for Bayern, so I don't care what happens in this group.
He plays for Poland.
He plays for Poland, yeah. But now he plays for Barca because he left Bayern. The bastard. No, I'm just kidding. He's fine. But, so the background is just a little bit, it's a little bit
My argument is, like, I don't care that it's during the day. Mm-hmm. I guess the reason why people hate that is because there's no big set pieces around the setting. It's just nothing. It's ruined. And arguably so, because that's what Shigaraki literally does. He like destroys everything.
I just think they should have spent. I think they should have spent another year on it. Made some of the insane moments a little bit more insane, or add some more shadows. Because I think the best part, or make it more stylized. Like make it like your opening is right now. You know, like the opening, the way that it's stylized is great. You know, and I think that the best part of the fight, the way that it looked, was when Endeavor started fighting him and then like the background turned all red because of how hot his flames were.
I think the best choreography and the best fighting scenes are when Endeavor has been in this season.
Arguably My Hero Academia in general.
Yeah.
You know, his fight scenes.
Because the fire always adds color in a colorless like palette.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and as much as we love All Might and Deku, you know, their powers are very much superpower, you know.
There's Deku opportunities to with Black Whip, but
no, definitely.
But he doesn't, I mean, it's not like he doesn't use it often, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
strength users don't really have that much flash to them.
Yeah,
so it's really
right.
It's really hard to compete against other villains. But I feel like people are just being too nitpicky with this, to a point where it annoys me a lot. But I did have my grievances were just like very very subtle, not subtle, but they're just very little in a sense where I watched the episode. I'm like, oh man, that was my favorite moment. I kind of expected a little bit more. At least I envisioned it better in my head. I didn't really care about the detail. I just thought it would be done differently. And not my favorite moment in terms of like the best scene, but like when I read the manga, it was the moment where I felt the most hype. Where I was like,
sure.
Where, because you say you always have the experience where you're like, oh my God, you have to put it down. Oh my God, this is like the best thing ever. Yeah. I really have that with manga. It's more with anime. But when it happened for me and my hero, it was that moment. It's when Deku threw the consecutive punches, Wyoming, Detroit, Texas. I'm like, oh my God. And it was like balls to the wall. I was freaking out.
Yeah,
and it happened here. And it, I mean, it was pretty good, but I just expected a bit more. I expected the budget just to kick up a slight notch. I didn't expect the best thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, one could argue that the film probably still hindered this season as well as it did the fifth, because when I was watching Blind Wave react to World Hero Mission, and as like unalive and I felt like the scenes weren't passionate or well choreographed, the budget was still there to the point to where I'm like, if it was just like a little bit of that in this, where season six is right now at this moment, I wish if we got a little bit of that, it would have just been all the more better.
And we could still get that. I mean, in terms of like Horikoshi's art, I don't know if it's been better than when Deku raged against Shigaraki in like after he got hit, right? Like when his eyes got all big and stuff like that. So this could happen in this next episode, and they might be saving it, especially since God knows where this season's gonna end, right?
Like, yeah, it's going really fast. We talked about this. It could end
really well paced, by the way. Just so well
really
paced.
Really fast paced. Yeah, in a good way. Really, really well paced. And then there was a big moment at the end. Bakugo's, it kind of reminisced back to when Deku was training with his float quirk, which we saw, which is also great.
Afro Deku.
He wants to be Luffy so bad, bro.
Beat Afro Deku versus Afro Luffy, who wins?
Why did it turn into Afro again? I'm confused.
Oh, it's because Bakugo kept exploding him, and then his hair got
starched
up.
Yeah, that's funny. But that was a fun scene.
Which
it's
is
like,
similar
hey.
To Luffy, right? Didn't Luffy get like exploded?
No, he just got it. He just bought a wig or something.
Oh, he did?
I think he just put one on.
It's been a while since I've read that arc, but yeah.
No, yeah. Usopp literally told him to get a wig.
Oh, okay. The Afro Luffy arc, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But yeah, we get to see like the longest scene we've had of All Might this season.
Yeah, he hasn't spoken. He hasn't spoken so far this season.
Yeah, which is really cool. Bakugo questions him about how much All Might has been hiding, and particularly with the fourth.
That scene makes me a little bit sad about where the manga is right now, because that scene, when I read it, made it all mysterious that like, oh, maybe some of the quirk users were villains, you know, and maybe some of them. Maybe All Might doesn't want to tell him all that stuff because...
I thought that with another user, I won't spoil it and I won't say, I thought that with another user as well in with One For All, and then they just kind of revealed who they were. I'm like, oh, I thought there was something else more to it. I mean, I didn't expect my theory to pan out exactly 100%, but I'm like, can you like do something else? I'm like, oh no, that's it. I don't know why you hit him so long for like nothing. There's like no reason for them to hide him what they were.
No, I agree. I might have been just because he didn't know much about it. But yeah, I still would have liked just a little bit mystery when it came to it.
Yeah.
Like I love the build up. I think the build up to Black Whip and Float was amazing. And I think that, and I won't say what the other quirks are, but I think that when the other quirks are announced, they never have that pomp. And two of them are really lame, And that's okay, you know, like not to give those.
I think
pomp.
Two of them are revealed at the same in the same fight, aren't they? Like
yeah. Which
point.
Is which is fine because it shows that time has passed,
yeah.
And that he's been working on it. And those quirks aren't necessarily like Float or Black Whip. Float or Black Whip are very much like they're very new.
They're different. Yeah,
yeah, they're very stylized kind of quirks, and I think that adding those quirks in there, that's fine. But I think especially with the last two quirks, needed much more pomp to what we got. And I won't say what they are because, but I will say that they're overpowered. I will say that they are
cool, but they just, I could, you're right. I could have used that.
It's absurd. It's absurd how powerful they are. It's absurd.
Yeah. There's a reason why we're going up. Why our one of the episodes that we posted.
You didn't think it could get more absurd than twice, but this is absurd. It's absurd. Yeah.
It's too much. But season six is going great. Feel like people are officially back in. And then again, I just need to ignore. It's so funny. Yes. I think, was this the anime where you were like, I keep hearing nothing but praise? And I'm like, Ben, I'm getting the exact opposite. Everywhere I go, people are hating on My Hero Academia. Was that this one? Or was that something else?
It was this one. It was, but it was two episodes ago. It was when.
No, it was this week. We just posted.
Was it this
yeah,
week?
Yeah, it was
okay.
this week.
Well, yeah, it was My Hero.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny because you're mainly on Facebook, but even then, I feel like, I don't know.
I'm mainly on Facebook because I like it better because I have a very tight-knit group of friends, and that's how I know what they're up to.
I'm on the sinking ship of Twitter, but
yeah, no.
Twitter's where I got most...
No way am I ever being on that. And one of my friends was like, you should make a Twitter. It's good for voice actors. I'm like, not now. I'm like, Twitter ain't good for anybody
anymore.
Isn't there
like a new social media where people are like...
Yeah, it's called Beehive or something like that. Hive.
Yeah. They're like, all right, okay, so this goes down is where I'll be. But...
If Twitter goes down, I don't think we're going to have anything like it ever again.
Yeah, because it's like Facebook isn't the same. And like Instagram, you don't really post like news. You know what I mean? It's not the same. And but nonetheless, I was getting a whole different conversation on My Hero on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good sides and bad sides, but the majority were just like people who were like super like trashing on it, say, oh, My Hero's bad now, guys, or like, oh, this is blah blah blah, blah. And a lot of these arguments were just people who were waiting for an opening to call this series bad. And it is a
very high trend to call My Hero Academia mid or call My Hero Academia bad now, when in reality, for the whole of the series, it's a great series, and I think it's one of the It's not one of the greatest animes of all time, but I think it is. I do think it's one of the greatest mangas of all time in terms of individuality. We don't really have too many superhero comics that don't have to do with DC or Marvel coming out of Japan. And I think for standing up against the superhero genre, it does a very different thing. And I think it's done really well. If Horikoshi can land the ending of it, it should be in that conversation. However, I really think if you asked me a year or a year and a half ago, I think all of us would have been like, yeah, My Hero Academia is like where it is in the anime right now. We would have all been like, My Hero Academia is the shiz, you know, like it is like it's at its peak. And if it continues, but it didn't continue. And so we'll have to see how it ends. And I'm really worried it's going to end very similar to something like Bleach. So we'll see.
Speaking of Bleach, just quick, we're not watching it, but nope. We have a friend who is. I'm hearing that the director, who's also in close collaboration with the anime's production, they're changing some things from the manga in terms of what's canon and what's not. And I hear that's a good thing. I'm going off one perspective, our friend Asol, who read the entirety manga of Bleach and who is watching the current Bleach anime. There's a lot of things that are kind of really iffy, and a lot of people didn't like about the manga. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember what he said about it, but well, I hear that the changes they're making are kind of drifting off ever so slightly from things that he didn't like. Which is good, probably. I don't have a foot in the door for this.
We eventually, we'll get to it, guys.
Eventually, it's a big three.
We'll eventually read Bleach and then we'll watch the anime ending, and then we'll do something about it. Eventually we will, but I mean, we're focused on other things right now. I know Bleach is huge, but
it's a big three. You can't blame us for not getting into it.
We realize we're going to miss the hype train of the Thousand Year Blood War, and that's okay. Sometimes it will be good in a year or two when we decide we're gonna sit down and take a look at this. It'll be good to be like, oh hey, like this is our, you know, entire viewpoint on it. So yeah, that'll be great.
But you know, nonetheless, fall season anime, it's going fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we should stop promising when we'll catch up on all these other series. When we do, we'll do. One way or another, all the series that we're watching now, we'll watch them all, and we'll let you know what we're thinking about it whenever they do. And the ones that stick out, obviously, will be up to date. I feel like My Hero and Chainsaw Man are the ones that have us by the throats and have our attention because they're just that good. And not saying that and everything else isn't. It's just but they're the ones that are like, whoa! You know what I mean? That just stick out to us, like, very so.
No, definitely.
But all these series are phenomenal, and we're having such a great time hearing about it, reading about it, watching it on the Manga Monday show, where we'll provide that for you. Ben, do you have a weekly poll for us?
I do.
All right, give it to us. Lay it down to me.
I don't have a new weekly poll, but I can talk about all the polls that we talked about.
All right, then let's hear about the poll results.
Let's hear about the results. Yes, we'll do a new weekly poll. I had an idea for one, but I completely forgot.
Well, how about this? I'm pretty sure you're going to post one after this episode or by the time this episode comes out. So whatever it is, go check up on our YouTube channel on the community tab. Mm-hmm. The poll will be there, and you'll be able to see the results as well as other ones that Ben's about to call out. What are the results for the polls you've been posting?
Earlier, we already talked about Marvel Phase 4. However, in the most recent poll, we said, now that we are finished reviewing it, which arc from the East Blue Saga is your favorite? With over 100 votes, I said I didn't have enough space, so comment Loguetown if it is your favorite. But overall, 2% for Romance Dawn, 1% for Orange Town, 4% for Syrup Village, 15% for Brady, and overwhelmingly, the most overwhelming poll we've ever had, 80% for Arlong Park.
Wait, how much was Loguetown?
Loguetown wasn't on it, so I said comment if it's
your favorite. We should have replaced it with Orange because no one cares about Orange.
Well, Loguetown only lasted 2 chapters, so.
And it was arguably better than Orange.
I see. But in the comments at RichStitch2194 said it's between Barady or Barady and Arlong Park. And then at Classical7370 said that number one was Arlong, number two was Barady, and number three was Syrup. So a lot of people really like Arlong and Barady, which makes sense. I mean, Mihawk was in Barady and added a whole bunch of different flair and world building into it. But Arlong Park is just a different breed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was pretty much it for this week on the Manga Monday show.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Next episode, we'll be doing not a weekly catch-up, but we'll talk about animes that we're watching, mangas that are coming out and that we're reading. And
Quintessential quintuplets.
Yeah, I think that'll be the main focus of the next week's episode. We'll be reviewing the entire series of Quintessential Quintuplets.
A half-blind review,
A half-blind review, indeed. That's a series that I love so much. So it's going to be fun picking up.
Yeah, the Half-Blind Review Series, me too. You guys should check it out too, the Half-Blind One Piece Review Series that we're doing on our channel.
But nonetheless, we'll have that written. No, that's okay. Shameless plug. Sell the merch that we don't have.
The merch.
But we'll be providing you guys with all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Go check out the Quintessential Quintuplets film review that should be out by now as of this release. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, we'll see you guys next week. And that's pretty much it. Yeah. I approve this message.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Edgar.
See you next week.
See you next week. Was I supposed to say something?
No.